I set this up here to remind myself that I have an illustration. And I don't know why, but a few people that saw me bring this rock in, the first thing that they thought was, who was I going to throw it at? Now, what do you people think about me? I don't know. Yeah, thank you. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one here. Thank you, Father, for new faces, returning faces, and bless each heart with a touch from you, that we will hear what you have to say to each of us, that we will know that we've been in your house, and that we'll walk away feeling blessed. I pray, Father, please, that you carry the message, and let it be exactly as you'd have it to be, and may it glorify you. In Christ's name, amen. Last week, we were talking about kind of like a revelation that God had given to me. And I say revelation loosely. And that is that our success in life is not based upon our accomplishments, but our relationship with Christ. If we can maintain a personal relationship with Jesus that's in step with Him, living faithfully and obediently with Christ till the day we die, no matter what we go through, no matter what the challenges are, because a lot of times we think, well, let's assess our lives and see what it amounts to. And we measure our lives based upon accomplishments or things or anything that we can look at that's measurable like that. And that's not really how God looks at us. God looks at us as His children, being faithful and obedient to Him, doing what He would have us to do in and through Him all the days of our life. After all, He not only knew us before the foundations of the world, Scripture says clearly, but He also has a plan for our lives, and the only way we discover that plan is by receiving Christ in our life and following Him. And so if the plan seems insignificant to us from a worldly perspective, that shouldn't be the priority, because we will be glorified with Christ in heaven. And that is something that is mind-boggling and astounding, to think that each one of us will be glorified with Christ in heaven. I like to think about when Christ comes back at the second coming, here coming, and we're beyond, as far as what it says in Revelation, we're beyond horses riding right behind Him. And you think, well, that's so mythological. You know, horses need something substantial to stand on if they're going to come. You know, they don't run in the air type thing. But God is Creator, and He can do anything that He wants. And I've often thought, you know, when we're on our individual horses and Christ is in front, and we're looking at each other and we're going, this is just beyond amazing, because we've read it all our lives and now it's happening. Isn't that cool? I love that. But going back to what I was saying with the first message last week, is that our success is based upon our faithful obedience to Christ, not what the outcome of it that we think is measurable. How great we are, what our accomplishments are, what our money status is, what things we have, so forth and whatnot. On the other hand, I think that we need to consider the fact that as we follow Christ obediently, then we are discovering the things that He has for us to do in Him. That's why serving the Lord, being faithful to the Lord, being available to the Lord, being used by the Lord is part of God's plan for our lives. Now, I said that to ask you something. You know, we're talking about measuring our success from a worldly perspective to that of a spiritual perspective. Okay, we pretty well established that God's evaluation of our success is based upon our loving Him first and following Him, not based upon who we are in the world and what we've accomplished and how much people recognize about us. Time. I'm going to talk a little bit about time here, because time is part of our Christian walk and our calling. He's given us time to live for Him. Our days are preordained by God. No one dies early. No one dies late. Everybody dies on time, as predetermined by God. And that's something that we need to remember. But time, I've learned of recent, is actually a physical property. It's intangible, so how can it be a physical property? Because it's something that can actually be measured, and it has certain elements that are necessary to measure it. And Einstein proved this and said time is a physical property that can be measured. Okay, now I'm going to lead to a point with this, okay? If I drop this paper back here a little bit, and I drop this rock at the same time, would it hit the floor at the same time? Why not? Because Einstein says that mass and velocity and gravity measure time. How fast this rock hit the floor faster than that paper because of its mass. But if I was to do the same thing in space, what would happen at zero gravity? It would just float. So time, what I'm trying to get to you is that time is something that God created. Haven't thought about time that way before, have we? We think time is universal in heaven, wherever, it doesn't matter. In fact, we almost think that time is something that's outside of the realm of God, that it just is a physical aspect or part of physics of life. It's just everywhere, whether it's here in this life or in heaven or whatever. But time is actually something that was made by God. Now, why was time made? Because he wants us to use it for him. He wants it to be used as a structuring mechanism to help us to be the successful, faithful people of God that he's called us to be. The question is, we have to ask, do we want to be successful people of God? I mean, is pleasing God our priority? Is living for God our priority? Is discovering the life that God has for us our priority? Is being in step with Jesus and knowing that we are building all of our life around him rather than on the things of the world that disappear? You know, when I go to convalescent hospital, I think about the seniors there that have had their wealth and their power and their position and their talent and their community recognition and all these type of things. And oftentimes working with seniors, I've thought to myself, you've been stripped down of all of your identity concerning your accomplishments in the world. If no one tells me, I don't know that you were rich. I don't know that you were powerful. I don't know that you did this or had this great experience or whatever. All I see is the person. And I've asked myself, if I'm stripped of everything that the world sees me by, what will they see? And the question should be, whom should they see? The Lord in my life. If we're stripped of everything, but they see our faith and our relationship with Jesus, man, that's powerful. That's being successful as a Christian, following the Lord all the days of our life until he takes us home. So thank the Lord for that. And those are real priorities, because what we do in our walk with Jesus here will affect not our salvation in heaven, but our eternal state in this regard. That how we are used of God for God's glory in eternity forward will be determined by how faithful we are to him here. It's kind of like earth is our boot camp. And that however faithful we are in him will determine how God uses us in eternity forward. So first of all, time is itself is a physical property. Einstein determined this by mass, combining mass, velocity, and gravity. You can measure time. But outside of gravity, time is not measurable in that sense. Okay? Secondly, God does not live in time as we know it. Jesus appeared and disappeared. Jesus ascended to the Father and came back. Where's heaven? Now, according to the scriptures, we're going to read in a minute, and heaven is in the third, it's called the third heaven. You've got the atmosphere around earth, which the scripture refers to as the first heaven. You've got the universe as we know it, and that's referred to as the second heaven. And beyond that, beyond the universe as we know it, is a dwelling place called heaven, God's dwelling place. And that's called the third heaven. I want to look at some things that help identify time from God's perspective that's different from the physical property of time that we experience in our daily lives. And I'm doing that to show a contrast that hopefully will drive the point home. 2 Corinthians 12:2 says, this is Paul speaking, but he talks in third person. I know a man in Christ who was caught up in the third heaven 14 years ago. So basically what we're reading here is Paul saying, I know that 14 years ago I was caught up into the third heaven. 14 years ago. Whether he was in body or out of body, I don't know. He couldn't identify whether he was physically there or spiritually there, but he knew that his focus was completely there. And only God knew. But still we see a parallel to a domain, an area that God lives, okay? Look at Revelation 1, 9 through 10. It says, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation, kingdom and entrance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of God's word and the testimony about Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You know, being in the Spirit is where you're absolutely fine-tuned and focused spiritually on God. Everything else just kind of is pushed aside. Nothing else is interacting in your thoughts except your presence with God in prayer. Okay? And that's what John was doing here. So I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a loud voice behind me like a trumpet saying, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And then look at this. In Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God. Was Enoch a normal human being? Yeah. Did he have a great relationship with God? Absolutely. All right? So Enoch walked with God. What a testament at our funerals. Put your name in place of Enoch, and you walked with God. Wow. The people in the world go, wow, what an arrogant statement. But Christians know that that's what God expects of us, is to walk with him. And to see that being the accomplishment, being the greatest goal, the tribute to your life and your character, that you walked with God. Wow. Enoch walked with God. Then he was not there because God took him. This is a Old Testament picture of a New Testament prophecy. It's called the rapture. It's called being snatched out or took out. You know how I think about it? I think about it like a curtain. Imagine there's a big stage up here and there's a full line of heavy, red, thick velvet curtains all the way across. And all of a sudden, and that's all you're seeing, all of a sudden, this hand comes out and snatches you and pulls you behind the curtain. Okay? That's kind of how Enoch was snatched, taken up out of the world. But there's another scientific fact that we can see in this. You see, it's not just faith. Although that's a large part of our walk, science also proves the truth of Scripture. Because in physics, we know that there are thin areas in the atmosphere of space. They actually think that these are thin walls or portals to other dimensions. Scientists know that there are four dimensions that are proven, but they also, ancient rabbis, refer to 10 dimensions, and they discovered that out of the book of Genesis. And so here we see God in his dwelling place, and Enoch walked with God because the Spirit of God was with him, not in him, but with him. And as he walked with God, God enjoyed his favor, his faith and his love for him so much that he said, I want you in my presence now. And he reached through the curtain, snatched him, and put him in his presence. And we talk about these different dimensions or being in the third heaven or being in the presence of God or being snatched out is something that is contrary to the physics of time, as you and I know. Because if he were to send, how long did it take the probe or the space thing in space? The Hubble. Hubble telescope to get to Mars. Took a long time before we got pictures back. right? But in God's power and authority, Paul was taken there, he didn't know, by body or spirit, instantly. Enoch was taken to the presence of God, instantly. And so we see the physics of time being different in God's world. And I say God's world, meaning where God lives in heaven today, the throne of God in heaven, there is no time as you and I know it. And that's a weird concept for us to think of. I think of 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Now, that's a picture of the rapture. Before the tribulation period, Christ is going to come back, and all those that have been laid to rest, their bodies will be taken up first, and you and I, if we're alive when that happens, we're going to be taken up into heaven, just like Enoch was. Snatched out. And I guess in the 70s, you could say, what a trip, man. But I could say today, what a trip that's going to be. But it's a different dynamic. It's a different dynamic. Now, why have I said all that? Because I want our minds to shift into the gear of the reality that there is a different reality outside of time as we know it, biblically being seen here. And I want to reinforce the fact that God created time, because it's a physical property that Einstein proved, okay, can be measured, that was made for you and I. And so the question comes, what do we do with our time? God created it for us. He wants us to use it for him, right? An opportunity. Our time is something God made for us to use for his glory. So we're going to be held accountable to how we use our time for God. How easy is it to lose track of time? How easy is it for us to look back and go, where did that month or year go? How easy is it for us to get wrapped up in all the things that we have to do just in normal life that may not be focused on our relationship with God? In all the meantime, you and I as Christians are supposed to be doing what? Walking with God on a regular basis throughout the day, through each event. Like Enoch, walked with God and God loved it. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning, no, prayer time this morning, that, you know, when somebody is sick and they're dying, oftentimes we pray because we love them. We want them healed. We want them here. We don't want them to go anywhere because of our heartbreak, right? But there's a verse in scripture that used to boggle me, but now I can appreciate it more, where it says that God is blessed. God is happy in the sight of the death of his children. Isn't that a weird phrase? Why would God be happy at seeing our death? Because the dynamics change. He's with us here. When we walk with him, we receive him as our Savior, and he's in our life, but he's rejoicing because the time has come when we get to be with him there. How awesome is that? How glorious is that? So just as much as we're praying here, I think that the saints in heaven are praying and looking with anxiousness to see when we come. What joy will it be? So our time is something God made for us to use for his glory. Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says this, "Don't be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap." So consider what you're building your life on. Are you building your life on the rock of Christ, or are you building your life on the sand of the world? Okay? "Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh." Modern language, the one who lives for himself, right, is sowing for himself, but not for God. And we need to understand where our priorities lie in our life. "But the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit." Now, Scripture is plain that we don't gain our salvation by sowing seed and walking in the Spirit of God. So what does that mean when he says here, But the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, will reap eternal life from the Spirit. It means that we are learning how to walk with Christ in a way that affects eternity. Learning here how to walk with God and how we walk with God will affect how we live in eternity with Christ. Not that we will have, you know, that how God uses us, as I said before. The rewards that we receive from God as well. So we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. What is doing good? Scripture says that a man's good works are like filthy rags. Anything that we can think that's commendable by the world's point of view, without God being involved in it, God looks at it as being a filthy rag. And if you really wanted to know what that filthy rag was in reference to, you would say, yuck, as you study that. So when we are building our life by faith in Christ, we've received Christ as our Savior, we believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose from the grave, that he's alive today. Satan believes that. But then we made it personal. We said, Lord, please forgive me for my sin and come live in my life. And then we have a beginning relationship with Jesus. Now, if we choose to just pack that away as our eternal life insurance policy and put it in our back pocket, because we know that we have Christ, when we die we're going to heaven, and that's all we're happy with, we're making a huge mistake. Because what we need to be doing is saying, God gave me eternal life, and then I want to walk with him so I can experience the relationship with God that God wants me to have with him, and that I can be used of God the way God wants to use me for his glory. It may not be recognizable by the world, but it is recognizable by him when we're faithful and obedient to him. And so we have to make the decision how we're going to utilize our time. Because I know, and you know, that it's so fast to get vacuum drawn into this world and all of its priorities and all of its stuff. And then get distracted from being focused on our relationship with God. It's not that hard. God already equipped us to walk with him. It's a choice. God's already empowered us to serve him. It's a choice. God has already told us he has a plan for our life. It's a choice if we discover that. Colossians 3:3, your life is hidden in Christ. You're not going to find it until you follow him. Until then, life is going to seem kind of haphazard, not really connecting, not really making sense, or having real purpose. But when we're in fellowship with God, following God, being what he's called us to be, we gain a greater sense of purpose of our journey here on earth. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and I would like, you know, and just for thinking purposes here, when I read that, I think, therefore, as we have time. Is that not opportunity? We have the opportunity. We must work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. You know, it's like what Debbie was saying up here. Hey, you know, come and help me, join with me to help care for one another more effectively in our church family. That is what that is talking about. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. But it doesn't mean that we are to exclude anyone that's outside the household of faith. That's a grave, grave, grave error for the church. Ephesians 5:15 through 16 says, pay careful attention then how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. I think when they said Enoch walked with God, could parallel very easily the statement Enoch was a wise man. Because fear is the beginning of wisdom with God. We learn to respect him, fear him. And that fear, you know, we've often tried to sugarcoat the fear. We should have a godly fear of God, if you will. But at the same time, we should find great joy in him as we live for him and serve him. pay careful attention then how you walk. You know, that takes effort. That takes intentional focus. That takes a purpose and a leading from God. That takes a heart that says, I really do want to follow Jesus. Pay careful attention then how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Every day you and I face warfare as we live for Christ. The enemy doesn't want us to live for Christ. He wants us to live for ourselves. But living for Christ requires dying to ourselves and giving ourselves to God. So, success for God's kingdom work requires good use of the time God made for us. And I think that has a little bit more impact when we think that time is something that was made for us, because we looked at the examples that time, as we know it, is not the same with God or in heaven. The time was something that was made for us to be used for Him. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for each one here. I pray, Father, please, that you will encourage each one of us. Help us to have tender hearts for You more and more and more. Excuse me. Break down, Father, anything that is being built in opposition to You. Any deception that is convincing us that it's better not to follow God than to follow Him. Father, I pray that that each one of us here today would be compelled to live for You and to know that You've already given us everything we need to be Your people. You've given us what we need to be able to walk with You. It's simply surrendering ourselves to You and committing our walk with You. So, Father, I pray that You bless that way. If there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would come up during the invitation and say, Pastor, I'd like to ask Christ in my heart. If there's someone that wants to or needs prayer or wants to rededicate their life or wants any type of need that can be met by praying with me or me praying with them, please honor that. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com. And tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.